This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, good morning. Let's turn to the book of Acts, the last chapter, which is 28. When you're on the way there, I've been catching some negative feedback about the long verses this month to memorize. I didn't write the Bible. And I'll give you a little help on memorization. This may be something you already know, but if you want to memorize Scripture, here's a couple things to help me. Maybe they'll help you. Number one, write it down. And then if you'll notice, practically every verse in the Bible, you've got punctuation marks. That breaks it down into little bite-sized segments. And if you'll just take one at a time and say it 3-4 times, and don't just say it 3-4 times, think about what it actually says, what it means, and meditate on that. And then try to say it without looking. You say it without, say it while you're looking at it, and then say it without looking. And then go to the next little section in the verse. And if you break it down like that, it seems a little easier. That's at least for me. I can't do a whole verse at one time. I just have a hard time doing that unless it's a short one. And then another thing that may help you is you can record yourself and play it back. Record yourself saying the verse and then play it back. I'll do this in the car sometimes, just playing that thing back. And sometimes I won't even be saying it with the recording. I'll just hear it and it sticks in your brain. Kind of like the songs on the radio have a tendency to do, right? What better thing to go through your brain and stick in your brain than the Word of God, right? And more importantly, you want it to make its way into your heart, not just your brain. So I think that's where the meditation part comes in, actually thinking about what it is that you're saying. That's how it gets into your heart. Okay, so hopefully that'll help you. The verses this month, I know a couple of them are kind of long, but with the Lord's help, we can all do it. So let's go to verse 17. Of Acts 28, I tell you what, before we start reading there, I got to tell you what's happened in this chapter. You're at the end of a great book, and it's a book that tells you all about how the church began, and it's a book that tells you about, I'm telling you, the thing I've seen going through Acts this last time I went through Acts, the thing I saw that was very clear is the spiritual battle going on in the book of Acts. I mean, it's incredible. There's preaching and teaching of the Word of God. There's people getting saved, and guess what happens right after people get saved? Here comes the devil, and there's somebody, there's a girl that he uses, there's a couple of different sorcerers that he uses to try to stop the work of the apostles, which is the work of God. They're doing the Lord's work, and I just see this constant back and forth spiritual battle. Now, folks, that was going on right after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. I believe we're living in a time where we're living right before His return at the rapture. And there was a lot of spiritual warfare going on back then. You can believe there's a lot more going on, a lot of spiritual warfare going on today as well. And if you'll just open your eyes to what's going on around in this country, you'll see it. So, and by the way, that's how you see that verse we had memorized. You can see the work of the Lord if you'll observe the physical things of this world. You'll see spiritual truth in the physical things of this world. Hopefully in the message we'll get into that a little bit this morning. So let's begin reading here. Paul has been imprisoned, and guess what he got put in prison for? All he did was preach the truth. They hated him so much. And we're at a place here where he has appealed to Caesar, so he gets going from this ruler to that ruler. And every time the Apostle Paul gets a chance to open his mouth in front of a ruler, guess what he does? He tells them about Jesus Christ. Is there any greater thing that you could tell somebody? I mean, every opportunity. He's got big audiences sometimes. He's got just a couple of people sometimes. He says the same message, no compromise. So that's the Apostle Paul. So we'll pick it up in verse 17. You'll see him do this again. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Before I read where it is spoken against, before I read verse 23, you'll see Paul speaking here. Now notice in verse 22, they said, we want to hear what thou thinkest. Paul's not going to tell them what he thinks. And has anybody ever asked you what you think about Jesus Christ? I hope that you don't tell them what you think. I hope that you say, well, the Scripture says, and you'll see that he actually is going to do this here. So look at verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, look at it, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So what was Paul's, what did Paul think? He didn't tell them what he thought. Where did he go to tell them in answer to what thou thinkest? Where did he go? He went to the Word of God, law of Moses and the prophets. So good answer from Paul from the Bible. 24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Isn't that how it goes? 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So there's the end of just an incredible book of the Bible, the book of Acts. Let's pray together and we'll get into the message. Lord God, we believe that these words that we read here this morning are true. They're without error. You've given them to us perfectly. And we know that these are the words of eternal life that we've read this morning. And we know that there's no more powerful words in this universe that we could lay our eyes on and hear or read. And we also know that there's no way that we can understand this passage we read or any part of the Bible without you helping us. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to just put the light on the Scriptures this morning for everyone here in attendance, everyone that might be listening or watching elsewhere in this world. And we ask that you might be glorified today. Lord, you know our desire here is for your word to go forth and for the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted. And we do want to pray that you would do that work here this morning among us. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so Paul. Paul had his priorities in order, wouldn't you say? I'm just going to jump into the first point here. The first point this morning is Paul's priorities. And I'll tell you that when Paul was given opportunity to speak, he made sure that he told of the work of Jesus Christ in his own personal life. Folks, it's one thing to open the Bible and tell people what the Bible says, and we ought to do that. You should do that. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't. But you also, on top of that, ought to be able to tell somebody who asks you what the Lord, through his word, has done in you. And that's what Paul did. See, that's where it becomes personal. And I'll tell you, if you never read and study the Bible, it won't become personal. I'm going to tell you what makes the Bible even more personal is when you witness to people. Because when you witness to people, you got to have some answers to give them from the Bible, from the verses, the chapters that you yourself have read and studied, so you know what they say and that's ministered to you, so you can pass that on to somebody else. Cannot emphasize the importance of the Word of God being a part of who you are and what you talk about on a personal level. So I'll ask you this morning, can you do the same thing that Paul did right here? If you were put on the spot this morning, can you do two things? Number one, can you point to some scriptures and know what they mean well enough to explain them to somebody? Number two, can you tell about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life through the scriptures that you're showing somebody? Can you do that? All right, there ought to be some stories in this room right here. We ought to have a bunch of stories, true stories that you can tell about people that you've talked to, shown them the scriptures, and explained to them what God did in your life. For Paul, what did God do in his life? Paul's on his way to Damascus. You know what he's going for? He's going there to put some Christians to death. He's opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's blinded from a light from heaven, above the light of the sun. So that's got to be God himself, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to him 6 words. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? 6 words. And those words were enough to get Paul down on his knees. And then that was the beginning of Paul having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, realizing that he died, was buried, and rose again for him. Now, he did that for you too. Did you know that? It's got to become personal. I need to park here for a minute. And I don't know if, maybe I don't need to, but I just know that the kids that I deal with all week are Christian school kids. They have heard Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for a long time. Many of them hundreds of times. And those same kids who've heard that hundreds of times, and maybe some same people in this church here who have heard it hundreds of times, have never made it personal. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for your sins. That's you individually. He died for me. And there's a day where I realized this has got to be something personal. I was a little boy when it happened with me. And it doesn't matter how old you are, God will save anybody, young or old. God will save anybody, big sinner, little sinner. You're a sinner regardless. And if that has not become something that's personal to you, folks, you need to understand you're a sinner. Here's the bad news first. You're on your way to hell because of your sin. You're going to have to pay for the sins on your own. There's the bad news. Here's the good news. Christ died for your sins so you don't have to pay for your sins on your own. And all it takes is you realizing that He paid for your sins and believing on Him and calling on Him to be saved. That's it. Is that easy or what? Don't confuse the simplicity of salvation. It is easy. It is easy. I'm getting a smile from Brother John. How easy is it, Brother John? You heard how long in another church, how hard it was. And it's so easy. A church that didn't really give you the gospel like it is in your Bible. It's so easy. All right? So don't avoid that. I'll tell you this also. Paul lived an absolutely incredible life after he met Jesus Christ. People think, and I used to think this when I was a kid, oh, your life is boring if you have to live for the Lord. Your life is more adventurous than any other lifestyle you could ever live. Any other occupation, any other way you could live. It's the best. It is adventurous. Now, I'll tell you this. It's only adventurous if you stick your neck out for the Lord. You can hide in your closet and never say anything about the Lord, and your life will go by, and I might be real comfortable, and you might have some things go your way, and everything's nice and dandy, but you're missing out on some adventure. Now, let me show you something. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the adventure of the Apostle Paul's life. Adventures. You'll see a bunch of things here. Now, as I read this, many of you know here, for some reason I have this fascination with, I enjoy studying the way that soldiers in the military train. I have this real keen interest in that. And I think the reason why is I have this interest in all the hard things that they have to do in order to become a soldier. Brother Joe can tell you, he was a Marine, is a Marine. Get that right, is a Marine. He went through Marine boot camp at Paris Island. He had the drill instructor yell in his face this far away, right? He's been through that. And I'm just fascinated that men will endure them. Men and women will endure that. It blows my mind. And how, after going through that, they don't actually just pack it up and want to just say, I'm done with this. After that, they're willing to go and die for the country. That just blows my mind how they go through this hard, hard, difficult training. And at the end of that, they're ready to take on the world. Isn't that something? Now keep what I just said in mind. After they go through the hard, hard training, they're ready to take on the world. Now, with that in mind, read this. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 23. Paul, again, he wrote this book. So this is him writing here. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And he's going to give you a little bit about his resume. This would be Paul's spiritual resume. You ready? In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. You know what stripes are? He's taking some beatings. In prisons more frequent. Read the book of Acts, you'll get that. In deaths oft. Not sure if I understand that one, but that's what he said. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, that would be the Jews, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? Now watch verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. You know what Paul said after all that? It's worth it for Jesus Christ. Why would he say that? He's living for the one that went through all this as well. And he's the one that didn't just live through all this. He actually died and then defeated death on top of it. You think he might be worth living for? He is worth living for. I show you all that to show you that the Apostle Paul was not a madman. If you read the bulletin, I talked about madness in there this morning and how the world thinks about us Christians, us Bible-believing Christians. They think that we're the madmen and mad women. No, you're crazy, mad, if you don't believe what the Bible says. But a lot of people would say, look at Paul and say, he's crazy for going through all that. The same people in the same breath will say, now those Navy SEALs and those Army Rangers go through all that really hard training. Go Army Rangers and Navy SEALs, that's good. What is going on? Paul's doing it for an eternal purpose. Those military guys and ladies are doing it for a temporary purpose. Nothing against them. I love the fact that they do that for our country. Amen. God, praise God for them. But folks, we're talking about something that anybody, regardless of your age and fitness level, you can engage in right now here today. You can engage in a life lived for Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, if you decide to stick your neck out for the Lord, things are probably going to get a lot harder for you in your life. But it's worth it all. It is worth every second of it. And here, who am I to speak? I'm nobody to speak. I'm looking at people a lot older than me, a lot more spiritually mature than me that have been through some stuff. And you know this is true. I'm just telling you what I'm reading right here. I've been through a minimal amount of this stuff. But I'll tell you what. We better brace ourselves because our nation is nearing the place where all those things right there could be any of us and all of us right here in this room. You ready for that? I hope we're all ready for that. I pray I'm ready for that. All right, so Paul saw every opportunity as an opportunity, every opposition that he had as an opportunity to speak up for Jesus Christ. So there's that first point. Paul had his priorities in order. He was going to speak up for the Lord. Here's the second thing. If you would go back there to Acts chapter 28. Second thing here. Actually, let's back up here before we go on to this second point here. Back up to Acts 14. I'd like to read this part to you. Paul mentioned over there in 2 Corinthians about being stoned. Did you catch that? He said he was stoned. How do you survive a stoning? The account is right here in Acts 14. So let's take a look at this. This is incredible. Acts 14. Look at verse 19. All right, and here's a little bit of the opposition that Paul faced. Just a little bit. Look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. Supposing. They thought they got him, didn't they? 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Folks, how did he survive that? Sounds to me like they thought he was dead, and he wasn't. And he endures that thing, and he gets up. It's incredible there. Verse 20, he rose up. If this is me, if I was the Apostle Paul right there, I'd have said, guys, I'm taking 2 weeks off. I mean, I deserve it. Look what I just endured. I'm taking 2 weeks off. I'll see you later. I'm going to go somewhere and relax. I'm going to get some good food and drink a lot of water and get myself all hydrated and ready to go here. What's he do? The next day, it sounds like. The next day. He's right there. It says the next day. It doesn't sound like it. It is. The next day, he goes with Barnabas. And what's he do in 21? He's right back what he was doing that got him stoned. Preaching again. I wrote down in my Bible right there, I wrote the word resilience. You know what that means? That means you can endure hardship and still keep going. Folks, that's what's needed in Bible-believing churches today more than ever. That's what's needed in Christianity today, period. Is get away from this softness And folks, let's get hard, ready to endure some difficulties. All right? I'll give you the verse. You know, I'll turn there. Proverbs 24:10. This ought to characterize a Christian, the response to this. I'll read it for you. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now that shouldn't characterize a Christian. But the opposite should characterize a Christian. I'll rephrase. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. When things get hard, your strength ought to be great if you're trusting in the Lord and His strength. If you try to do it in your own strength, your strength and my strength is like this. It really is. And you know what you'll do? You'll get mad. And you'll get discouraged and frustrated. And you want to just give up and say, I'm done. That's your strength. You rely on the Lord, you get right back up. Same chapter, a just man falleth 7 times. You stumbled and fell. I'm there all the time. Get back up. 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 And go in the Lord's strength. Okay, with that in mind, go to Colossians, actually. Colossians chapter 1. The Lord's strength. Your source of strength, just like the Apostle Paul's, ought to be the Lord Himself. Look at Colossians 1. We ought to be marked by great resilience as Bible-believing Christians. Endure the difficulties that come our way. If you look here, this is actually Paul, and he's praying for the folks there in Colossae. We went over this here a few months ago, this great prayer that he prayed here. And look what his prayer was for these believers. Look at verse 11. He prayed that they might be, look at verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Who do you think that might be? That'd be the power of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. His glorious power unto all patience and, there's a word we might not like, but we need to know, patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know what long suffering means? Here's a hard one. Here's a real tough one, folks. Long suffering. You know what that means? Ready? To suffer long. So that means, by the way, the Lord is long suffering towards me. Is He long suffering towards you? He just looks down here sometimes and He's got to look down here and say, oh boy, look at Rockwell again. And you know what He does? He waits. What is He doing this time? There He is again. And He waits. And He endures me not doing what I should do, and He waits for me to start doing what I should do by calling on Him and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it. Help me out here. I need Your strength. All right? That's long-suffering. If the Lord is long-suffering, how much more should we be long-suffering? All right? And be able to endure that. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't go in your own strength. Go in the Lord's. Paul saw the chains that he was given in prison as challenges and opportunities to speak up for the Lord. We ought to do the same. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and go down there to verse 7. It's a great verse. It talks about having a sound mind and not being fearful. Then you go to verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. Now watch this part. But be thou, what's he say there? Partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, in our country right now, the afflictions, I'll give you a little bit of dosage of the afflictions that we experience. Are you ready for this? It's so minimal compared to what Paul went through. It's minimal. Brandon can tell you this. You go down on the street corner and you hold a sign. The sign has Bible verses on it. That's it. It's got scripture on it. That's it. People honk and will yell curse words out the window at you as they drive by. And what makes me mad is they keep going. Say, hey, you want to talk? All right. Why would you? What the funny thing is they'll wait at the stoplight and not say a word. And then as they go through the intersection, roll down their window and yell some obscenity at you. What a coward. Let's talk. If you feel that way, let's talk. I would love to talk to you. I don't care if you're opposed. That's okay. We want to talk. So you get that, all right? And then you might get some interesting hand signals thrown at you, all right? Same thing. And then these people, it's so ridiculous. They'll drive through there and they'll say something about the devil. It's the most ridiculous thing. And that's about the extent of it. I've been in some situations where people have gotten upset. And this would be like on the one-on-one type of stuff that you get into. They get mad at you. Not one time has anybody ever laid a hand on me. Not one time. Might have been close to me, probably a foot away or so and got mad, maybe in my face. Nobody's ever laid a hand on me. How about the Apostle Paul? See, we actually got it really good in this country, folks. And surely we can all be willing to speak up for the Lord for just the slightest amount that we get in this country of opposition, right? I mean, that's the worst that you get, right, Brother Joe? Slam the door in your face. That's the worst it gets. Surely we can be bold enough to take that. If we can't take that, we're soft. We're beyond soft. All right? So go over to James chapter 1. One last verse on this whole thing about your source of strength and being able to endure some things here. Yeah, I said I was going to go to the second point. You knew that wasn't right. Too early for the second point. We'll get to it, though. James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Enduring the hardships that come our way. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, there's your temptation. He's going through a difficult time, a trial. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Folks, it's worth it to endure a trying circumstance. It's worth it. Tells you right. You believe that verse? It says the Lord hath promised a crown of life for you enduring the hardships that come your way. Then endure the hardships that come your way for Jesus Christ's sake, that is. It's worth it. Interesting, go back to 2 Timothy there. I know we were just there, but go back to 2 Timothy. I'll show you something. When you're on your way there, this will match up with the verse. Go to 2 Timothy 2. This will match up with this verse we're about to read. You read about these Navy SEALs that go through this ridiculous training. I don't know how they do it. They'll start a class of these guys that want to be SEALs with 150 and have 90% of them quit. These are tough dudes that are quitting. They say, they got to go ring this bell whenever they quit. Very humiliating. But when you're wanting to quit bad enough, you'll do anything to get out of the suffering that you're going through. You know why they quit? Because they're going through suffering. They're getting. You know what they make those guys do? It's crazy. They make them in their full camis, a whole uniform with the boots on and all. They make them just go jump in the ocean, in the Pacific Ocean over there in Coronado, California. They jump in the ocean. Stay there a while. It's cold water. All year round, it's cold water. Get out. Okay, now, we want you to roll around in the sand. Be a sugar cookie, they call it. And they get all this sand all over them. Okay, now get up. Now do 500 push-ups, do 200 pull-ups, do 300 sit-ups. Okay, oh, go back in the ocean. Okay, stay out there a while. Oh, lay down with your head so that your head is on the side where the water's rolling in. And link arms and just stay there as it comes in. You got to hold your breath for a while, don't you? Cold water. And then they just stay there. And they sit. And that's when most guys quit. After a couple of rounds of that, they're like, I'm done. I'm done. And they say in the first few hours of this one particular week of training, that's when they lose most of them because they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Now, at the end of that training, it's 6 months to get through that. 6 months of that nonsense. And at the end of that training, guess what they get? They get this Navy SEAL trident pinned on their chest. That's the reward because when people see that trident, they're saying, oh, you Navy SEAL, you're, oh, prestige, right? And I would agree, yes. You go through that stuff, yes, you're something else. Now, with that in mind, go to 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good, what is it? Soldier of Jesus Christ. Surely I can take somebody getting mad at me for speaking up about Jesus Christ. They don't even lay a hand on me. Surely I can take being bold for the sake of God's word going forth, even if somebody don't like it. Surely we can do that, right, folks? Endure the hardness. They think they say that those are the hardest guys on planet Earth, those guys that go through that. I disagree. I say somebody like the Apostle Paul is the hardest guy on Earth. I mean tough is what I mean by hard. Tough. That's the toughest guy maybe that ever walked the face of the Earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ right there, the Apostle Paul. Now, you know what we need today? We need some Apostle Pauls. You can be a lady and still be like the Apostle Paul, by the way. You don't have to be a man. All right? Let's go over to back to Acts 28. Acts 28 here. Let's get this second point here. And let's look at the people's perception here. People's perception. When we read, you saw this. Look at verse 24. Second point, the people's perception. How they receive these things that Paul spoke of. 24, and some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. Now, it's interesting, in our country, if you listen to the news, they'll tell you there's two groups of people. Republicans and Democrats. And if you're a Republican, then you're on the right side and everybody else is wrong on the other side, right? And if you're a Democrat, it's the other way around, right? What a bunch of nonsense. You know what the Bible does? It gives you two groups, and these are the two groups. Look what it says in 24. Some did what? Believed. And at the end, the last three words, some what? There it is right there. There's your two groups. Which group are you in? I don't know. You know what's in your heart. Who knows what's in your heart? You do. God knows what's in your heart, and you know what's in your heart. You know if there is a time where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. You also know if you never did that. You know you can put on a show and make other people think that you've done that. Folks, you really know whether you've done that or not. That's something that's in the heart. And we'll more about the heart here in a moment. Go over to John chapter 8 here on this thing about belief. Now, the Apostle Paul endured all these things because the Lord Jesus Christ endured the same stuff. Go over here to John chapter 8. Now, one thing that Paul was not ashamed to do was tell the truth. One thing that Jesus Christ was not ashamed to do was to tell people the truth. Today, there's this, I don't know if you recognize it, I'm sure you do. There is this, I'm trying to think how to explain it. There's an opposition in the air. Does that make sense? There's just this opposition, and I say in the air on purpose. Because there's the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. Do you sense that sometimes? I mean, here's how I get it. At school, my Christian school I teach at, in the Bible class with, 20-some boys, man, you better believe, these are teenage boys, there is an opposition in the air in that classroom. And you get it here at church sometimes. You get it here at church sometimes. I love when we sing the hymns with some oomph, because I believe that music, the right kind of music, singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we make all that opposition in the air unwelcome here. Oh, did you hear what we were singing about this morning? I'll tell you what really makes them unwelcome. The blood of Jesus Christ. That makes you don't believe me. You remember the King Saul? He had an evil spirit troubling him. Caused David in to do what? Play some music on a harp. What happened to that evil spirit? Gone. I think the same thing can happen in church. It's in the Bible, folks. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. You're supposed to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a mark of a spirit-filled Christian that does that, by the way. I believe we drive those things out, make them unwelcome whenever we do that. Oh, by the way, they'll come right back in. You got to drive them out again. They don't like the fact that the Word of God is preached. Now, some of you look at me like, you think I'm crazy saying this. You haven't read your Bible. There's a little g-god of this world that wants you to not pay attention to the Bible when it's preached and taught. There's a little g-god of this world that when you sit down to read your Bible says, that's a waste of time. There's a little g-god of this world that wants you to stay plugged into all the media that you possibly can and not pray and not read the Scriptures. There's a little g-god of this world that don't want you to come here and hear the Bible preached and taught every week. Can you tell by the number of people that are here that's true? Come on. Brother Joe, we've been on how many doors we knocked on in this town? I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and the thousands, right? Where are all those people? They got better things to do. Because the God of this world, the little g God of this world, has power over them to keep them from doing what they ought to be doing. They ought to be hearing the Word somewhere. And not this ain't the only place they can hear it. This is one of a few places they can hear it. Ought to go somewhere they can hear it. All right, so didn't mean to get off on all that, but John chapter 8. Look at what the Lord says here. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is plain message that goes forth out of his mouth, and it's not positive. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now look at 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, you've witnessed it in this day we live in. You've seen this. You tell people the truth in a loving way. It doesn't matter how you put it. You can be in a non-loving, you can be in a real sharp fashion. I don't say non-loving, but a sharp fashion or a real soft fashion. They just don't like it because it's the truth. They're opposed to the truth. So he says there, you don't even believe me. Now, folks, if people didn't believe Jesus Christ, do you think that all people are going to believe us? Probably not all of them. Look at 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Watch this part. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Have you ever asked that question before? Sherry and I, being teachers and our kids, we've asked that question many times. I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It is the truth. But we live in a world where some believe and some believe not. That's just the world we live in, folks. Don't let the unbelievers stop you from giving the truth out to as many people as you can in the time you got. All right, go back over there to Acts. Go to chapter 17 here, chapter 17, on your way back there. And let's look at what was going on here as Paul was preaching. And I tell you, this is one of many places in Acts where there's opposition to preaching. Look at verse 2, 17:2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them. What did he use, folks? What was the source of authority? Out of the Scriptures. You better believe it. He wanted people to realize it was not his word he was giving them. When you witness to people, you want them to realize, I'm telling you what God said. This is not my opinion. All right, verse 3. Opening alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, with whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Look at 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Look at verse 5. But the Jews which, what do you see there? Believe not. Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Did you notice there in verse 5? Assault. For what? Preaching the gospel. Isn't that something? Now look at verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, look what they say, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Amen. That's a good thing. Look at verse 7. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, which was a lie, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Now that was true. And they might have said that King Jesus is more important than King Caesar, but they didn't say that they weren't going to obey Caesar, only in instances where they would go against God. So some of that is true, some of that is not what they said about them. But I show you that to reveal that when you preach the truth, there will be opposition. Paul had it, and we've got it today. All right, so let's go back there to Acts 28, and let's see about this thing here that Paul says. So after verse 24, you'll see that I'll save the time in reading it. I'll just point out some things. But beginning in verse 25, Acts 28, 25, as a result of some believing and some believing not, Paul actually begins quoting in verse 25 from an Old Testament prophet. Who is it? It's Isaiah, if you see there in verse 25. Isaiah is the prophet. And in verse 26, we'll read some of this. It says, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. Have you experienced that verse right there? Have you told people, and they've heard you, very plainly tell about what Jesus Christ has done for them, and they said, I don't get it. You ever been there? And then you're showing them out of the Scriptures. They don't just hear, you show them, and they don't get it. It says they don't perceive. And here's why, and you can see this in America in 2019. Look at verse 27. Here's why. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. You know what the problem is, folks? The first thing mentioned in verse 27 is a problem. It's heart trouble. The problem is the heart. And it says there, their heart is waxed gross. And then it goes on to say, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Now, that's every individual. They've chosen to do that. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Folks, that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you understanding in the heart. He wants you to hear. He wants you to see so that you'll be saved. Okay, you're saved. Let's say you're saved. He wants you to continue on. Folks, open now mine eyes that they may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God wants you to keep hearing and understanding and keep seeing and perceiving. It never stops. This is part of the adventure of the Christian life. God gave you a book that is absolutely a treasure chest full of truth. And it's an adventure just going through this book. All right, so there's the people's perception. Some are going to receive it and some aren't. Now let me show you the cure for heart trouble real quick. Keep your finger here and go to John 14. Show you the cure for heart trouble. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people end up dying because of heart failure, don't they? Heart trouble. In fact, you could say that everybody who dies, ultimately it's a matter of the heart, because what's got to happen? Heart's got to stop beating, right? Let me show you the cure for heart trouble. You ready? John 14:1 should be a familiar verse to you. Here's the cure for heart trouble. 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Here's the answer. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Who's that talking right there? That's Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hey, rapture, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 14:6, cure to heart trouble. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Great verses right there on the truth and the cure for heart trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cure. Let's get back there to Acts 28. We'll wrap up here, last point here. We had Paul's priorities. He wanted to preach the gospel. We had the people's perception. Some believe, some believe not. And finally, in spite of some people not believing and not caring, we've got Paul's perseverance. Folks, Paul couldn't be stopped. He could not be stopped in doing something for Jesus Christ. As many oppositions and situations where he was beaten and stoned like we looked at and in prison, he couldn't be stopped. You know why he couldn't be stopped? The Word of God is not bound. That's why. You can't stop the Word of God. When he's in prison, what does he do? We had a message on this here a while back. What was he doing in prison? Preaching. I preached to the jailer. The whole family gets saved as a result. So nothing could stop him. Look at there at the last two verses. I'll read these two verses to you and I'll say a few things and we'll be finished. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Look at his perseverance here in verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at these next three words. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, I wanted to spend some time on this, and just because of the time we have here, I'll just take a moment here. 31 says that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Now, this month, we have a bunch of verses on the invisible, right? And I'll show you here. Go back to Romans, or go forward here to Romans 14. You can leave Acts here. We've got a couple things we'll look at here in closing. Romans 14, and to show you, what is that kingdom of God all about? Now, some folks will tell you that you've got the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and they're exactly the same. And I have a hard time with that because it's interesting. If you look at that phrase, kingdom of heaven, there's only one book you find it in. It's the book of Matthew. And you find the kingdom of God all through all four Gospels, and you see it here sprinkled in Paul's epistles too. It's very interesting. So let's look at Romans 14:17. Let's see what the kingdom of God is. A few verses here in closing about what Paul was preaching. Don't you think we ought to be preaching the same message? Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what he was preaching. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that tells me right there, the kingdom of God is not a tangible, physical thing, because it's not what? Meat and drink. Now, I can see meat and drink. I'm going to have meat and drink at lunch today, and so are you, right? You have food and something to drink. I cannot see the three things he mentioned after that. Righteousness and peace and joy. I can see the results of somebody having those three things, but I can't go, I got joy. I got peace. I can't do that. I can't put my hands on it, can I? Go back to Luke chapter 17. I'll show you another one. Luke 17. So this kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. Invisible kingdom. That's what Paul was preaching. Well, we ought to know something about this. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17, look at verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, this is the Lord talking, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's something that lives inside of you. Last place here, John 3. John chapter 3, last place, John 3. Folks, Paul preached the kingdom of God. I'll wrap all this up together and hopefully kind of tie everything together and you'll see why I said some things early on that I said. John chapter 3, look at verse 3. Very famous chapter on Nicodemus and the meeting between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the... What kind of birth is he talking about right there? A spiritual one. Now, none of us remember this, but when you were in your mother's womb, when I was in my mother's womb, it was dark. When I was born, I saw the light. No, really. That was my first glimpse of light. Now, think about this. You want to see things the way God sees them? You need to be born again, because when you are born again, you get a new nature, you're a new creature, and now you have light that you did not previously have that you can understand. God takes you when you get saved from a life of darkness spiritually to a life of spiritual light. Isn't that something? You know what Paul is preaching? He's preaching the kingdom of God. You know what it takes to be in the kingdom of God? You got to believe on Jesus Christ. You keep reading here in John chapter 3 and you'll find that. In fact, go over there to John 3. Go down to verse 36. Last chapter in the verse. Or last verse in the chapter. And this will hopefully kind of put everything together. You know, I said earlier, there's this opposition in the air. Right? And I believe part of the reason for this opposition that the devil brings in our world today has to do with so many people want to see something physical. And if they can't see it physically, I don't believe it. And then the same people, in the same breath, Brandon, will tell you how they 100% believe in evolution, something they've never seen. Isn't that something? Folks, our work is spiritual work. Our work is a part of an invisible kingdom. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ one day will come back here physically and establish His physical kingdom here on earth. But in the meantime, we want to tell people how they can be in the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual kingdom, so that when that physical kingdom is established, they have a part in that as well. But right now, I believe part of the reason why we got so much opposition is people want to see something in the physical realm. And the Lord says, my work right now is done spiritually. Okay, so look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, what's he got? Now, can you see everlasting life? Everybody in here, you look older today than you did last week. I can't see that you got everlasting life. I can't put my hands on everlasting life. But if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what you got? I can't see it, neither can you, but guess what you got? You see the nature of our work? We're involved in spiritual work, folks. Doesn't it seem odd for you to get down on your knees and talk to somebody who's not there? But He is there. You just can't see Him. When you go to the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, there's some great things going on there. That's a real conversation in heavenly places that you can have. But I don't see anybody. You see the nature of our work? You see why there's so much deception in our world with this stuff? We're involved in spiritual work. You want to see things the way God sees them? First off, you got to get saved. Number two, look at this world we live in through the lens of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I see things so clearly now. And I was listening to a fellow the other day that most people would call a conspiracy theorist. And he's going on and on about all these things. And I'm like, well, he's right there because the Bible lines up with that. You're wrong there because I don't see that in the Bible. You're right there. And the whole attitude with this guy that I was listening to was an attitude of, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know what to do. All this stuff is happening and I can't stop it. And it was an attitude of fear. And I'm listening to that poor guy and I'm saying, I got the answer, man. I got the answer. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power to love and a sound mind. How are you going to have a sound mind in this world? You better first and foremost know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Second, get in this book. You'll understand why Brother Don's message last Sunday night, why governments are the way they are. You'll see it as clear as a bell, won't you? You get it. And you can see far beyond what CNN and Fox News and any of them can show you. You'll see things the way you ought to see them. And you know what? It excites me. Because I see things lining up just like it says in Revelation they will line up. And I say, we're getting that much closer, man. Listen for that trumpet, right? Our work is spiritual, folks. I challenge you, engage in the most important work in the world this week. You personally, getting in this book, ask God to show you some things. Why? So you can show somebody else what He showed you. Whether it's salvation or maybe it's here at this church, you're showing somebody what God showed you throughout the week in the Word of God. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank You for just being able to hear words from this great book that You've given us, the only book that matters. And I just pray that You would challenge each and every one of us to live this life that You've given us, this short time, a vapor here on earth for You. Lord, I pray You stir up some hearts today for some people here among us to do some things that maybe they've been putting off for a long time, or maybe they used to do but aren't doing anymore. Lord, help us to be about the spiritual work of this kingdom of God. And I just pray You really stir us up today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.